When anyone receives revelation in the Word of God, it sometimes conflicts with what he has previously been taught. This causes you to have to deal with old traditions or wrong teaching. These tapes may contain some new light from God's Word, and it may be opposed to some traditions you have previously learned. Therefore, follow through these messages in your Bible, in sequence, in order that you may be able to make a choice for the Word of God rather than the traditions of men. This is tape number 3 in a series. We urge you to listen to all the tapes in the series in numerical order, so that the whole teaching can be received and understood. Listening to a part of this series, or to the tapes out of sequence, can lead to a misunderstanding of the nature, the intent, and the importance of this series.
It's good to find out you're free, isn't it? I'm going to tell you something. Jesus has something to get excited about, isn't he? God, after he'd spoken long ago, through the prophets, to the fathers, in many portions, in many ways, in these last days, has spoken to us through his Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things. And through him, he's made the world. And you and I are to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him, bearing fruit in all good works and increasing in the knowledge of God. We're strengthened in all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of steadfastness and patience joyously. We're giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in life, having delivered us from the domain of darkness. Now he's transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and a forgiveness of all of our sins. You receive that?
Amen.
Well, praise God. I mean, in Hebrews 10 and 6, we're going to be looking at those tonight a little early, but one of the things I just want to wind up about last night, we know that we are bearing the fruit of the flesh and rebellion and selfishness. We come, we repent. Jesus Christ becomes Lord of our life. Then we will have the walk of faith, which is led by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God leads us to put to death all the works of selfishness. It cleanses our heart from all rebellion. And when our heart is cleansed from all rebellion, we love our neighbors as ourselves. That's what the gospel does. Is that right? That's how the Word performs its work in us. That's how you're born again with the Word of God. Amen? So I want you to just see something about... See, that's the way to eternal life. We'll see it over in 2 Peter, but right now I want you to look with me in Luke 10. Okay? I want you to see this in Luke 10. A lawyer asked Jesus a question. In Luke 10. You don't want to hear any stories from that, do you? Okay. In Luke 10, verse 25, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, is that a good question? This man asked Jesus, and here I want you to watch very closely what the answer. Jesus, he's going to answer, and he said, "This is correct. This is the way you have eternal life." Now, verse 26, "And he said to him, What is written in the law?" Jesus asked, "What's written in the law? How does it read to you?" And he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with how much of your heart?" Now, folks, how do we ever think that we can read these things in the Word and we can come some other different way? It's the powers of darkness that would have you to think that you can come with a divided heart. Would he be Lord if you just come with part of your heart? Tell me. Let me ask you again. Would Jesus be Lord if you just come with part of your heart? See, this is missed. This is sending people to hell. You understand that? This is why doctrines today, carnal doctrines today, they don't even have to deal with the powers of darkness of the flesh. Look here. You get you a false security. Your heart fall in love with the false security. You don't need to buy. Cast the Word behind you. Now we're talking about, Jesus said, come with all your heart. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, will, and emotions, your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and you're going what? You're going to love your neighbor as yourself, and that is the way to eternal life, because Jesus said, you have answered correctly. If you do this, you will live. Now, you know, Jesus encountered some different people that had idols, the rich man, and different things like that. He didn't have all their hearts. And he told them to get rid of all his possessions. Is that right? I mean, you only come with all your heart. There's no provision. We're talking about the Word here about a disciple. A disciple is someone that has all the heart. He doesn't love family, the world, the things in the world, anything more than he does the Lord. Now, I want you to look at me in Romans 6, because we want to clear up something about what grace is. Grace is perverted just like love has been perverted. In Romans 6, and just real briefly, I just want to... We're told not to sin and walk in sin. Is that right? Or not to practice sin? Now in Romans 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? Are we to practice sin that grace might increase? Or another way to put it, shall we continue in sin that grace might increase? Now your Bible right here says, may it never be. That's not what traditions say, but this is what your Bible says. May it never be. Amen? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? We know in verse 6, knowing this, that the old man, the old cursed nature, was crucified with Jesus, that the body of sin, all the rebellion, is going to be done away with, that we're no longer going to be slaves of sin. For he who's died, when you die, the old man dies, you're free from sin, so it's put to death. Amen? So, now, are we supposed to be a people that's no longer under the law? Is that right? We're led by the Spirit of God, and we're no longer under the law. Well, how do you think you move from being under the law? Because you quit sinning. Amen? And if you're practicing sin, walking under sin, you're walking under the law. Is that right? Well, it's interesting how that thing, something so simple, gets so turned around. I think you just get too smart. Look at there in verse 14. For sin shall not be master over you. Now let me tell you what this is saying right there. Listen to me. Look at me. No sin is going to be master over you. No sin is going to be master over you, because if any sin is master over you, you're practicing sin. Amen? It becomes an idol. Put Colossians 3:5 after that. It becomes an idol. You're loving that thing more than you love. No sin shall be master over you. For you are not under the law. Which means when you're not under the law, that means you're not sinning. Amen? But you're under grace. Now, there's a church right there. See how that's the real church right there. See how it gets turned around? You're not under the law. You're not under the law, so you don't sin. Sin's not going to be master if folks are under the law. Don't say you're under the law if sin's mastering you. Amen? All right, now the next verse, 15. What then shall we sin because we're not under the law? Now, is that a good question? Shall the church sin because they're no longer under the law? Now, shall we sin because we're no longer under the law, but under grace? Well, there it is again. Same old thing. God forbid. May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as slave for obedience, you're a slave, the one who you obey, either of sin, which if sin's working in you, what's working in you? Death is working in you. That's what you repented from. Amen? What did you repent of? You know, I guarantee you that most people that call themselves Christian couldn't even tell you what the cursed nature is. They couldn't even tell you what the sin nature is. I guarantee you they can't. They couldn't explain it to you. Now, let me ask you something. If someone doesn't understand what the sin nature is, tell me what they repented from. And then give some people like that a false security and tell them how righteous and holy they are in their stiff-necked stubbornness before God. Give them a false security. That's how you shed blood. Pervert the Word of God, that's how you shed the blood. Perverting the Word of God. That's in Ezekiel 33. So, you're slaves of the obedience, either of sin resulting in death or obedience. Now, that obedience is called works. Folks call that works. When you start obeying the Word of God and you start about walking in the Spirit and things like that, brother, that's where you get pushed off the cliff. Obedience to the Spirit. If somebody's like, Lord, they're telling you what to do, aren't they? Huh? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Amen? So, it's obedience, and obedience, what does that result in? That's walking right in God's eyes. But thanks be to God, though you were slaves of sin, you have become obedient. There's that word from where? The heart, which is the real you. Now, remember, that heart is you. The heart is the real you. You're living in this carton right here. Amen? The heart is the real you. But you came obedient from the heart to that form of teaching. That's the gospel to which you were committed. Your heart's committed, and you become obedient to it with a heart. You know, listen, you can say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, died on the cross, and raised him. That doesn't mean anything. If it's not coming from your heart, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the heart man believes unto unrighteousness. Well, if he's believing unto righteousness, you're going to know him by his what? If his heart has believed unto righteousness, you're going to know it by his fruit. If his heart has been believed unto unrighteousness, you're going to know him by his fruit also. Amen? You're not going to know by his membership or anything else, seniority or anything else. You're going to know it, but you'll tell. See, because the issue is the heart, because the heart is the real you. Now, may I tell you something? If you believe in the righteousness, the gospel is going to cleanse your heart from all sin, you're going to love your neighbor as yourself. What about that? Now, how are you going to change it unless you build another tower into heaven? Do you think the powers of darkness would like you to walk after this stuff? Sure, they've got you. Another gospel. Now, and having been, we're freed. You get freed from sin, and you become slaves of righteousness. You know what a slave of righteousness is? That become a servant. You're walking in love. That's what a slave is. I mean, do you know something, folks? The happiest you've ever been in your life is when you're giving something to someone you love. God made you that way. Now just think about it. The time that you're giving somebody something that someone that you love. Now, God has made you this way, and this stuff has been interfering with continually filled with joy, can fill with the Spirit of God and everything He's wanting to do for us. Are you hearing me? We're not. It's not taking the Word to heart. So we see the way into heaven, the eternal life. We see it again in verse 22. For now, having been, you're freed from sin. If you're freed from sin, that means the old nature, cursed nature, is dead. Selfishness is gone. Is that right? Shake your head. All right, if you're freed from sin, and you are enslaved to God, I mean, all your deeds are having been wrought in God, walking in love, you derive your benefit. Now, there's a benefit, see. It's going to result in what? Sanctification. What is sanctification? Listen, that's removing all sin from your heart. So, sanctification, and then what the result is sanctification. There you see it. The outcome is eternal life. Now, that's the way into heaven. But it goes ahead and said, if you want to walk in sin, that's the ways of death. Is that what he said in that? Wages of sin is death if you're going to walk there. Amen? You know, you better not walk in it. You better not practice it. You better stay before the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and get that heart clean. Because you are commanded to walk in peace, and when you're not in peace, you're supposed to get before God if He's Lord. That's how you're going to know, because it is a walk of peace. Right? All right, that's what the Lord's teaching us now. Now, just quickly, let me just clear up a couple of basic things right here in Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians 5 so we get this thing clear about sin and grace. So I want you to know that I understand what grace is. Grace is that God's Spirit in the world. Amen? To purify and sanctify you. Now that's what grace is. But you will suffer in the flesh and you will walk as Jesus walked. How can, and unless two agreed, how can they walk together? When you make covenant, two become one. Amen? This is how we come, one mind and one heart. Now, in Ephesians 5, just quickly, verse 5. Now we decided last night we'll read something. We're all going to act like it's not in there, right? For this you can know with certain. God says something certain. No immoral person, or what is that word? Now, impure person. You know that's the opposite from a pure heart. That's the opposite from sanctification. Are you hearing me? No impure person, no covetous man who is an idolater, we'll find out what idolater is quickly in a minute, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ, our God. Now see, look here. If you follow that, a false teacher, a false prophet, if he that loves another gospel, he'll have something from higher learning. Well, isn't that real complicated right here? But he might tell you what the Greek is. That, you know, you just can't know. You know, don't you do what that says. You know, after all, this is what's got our hearts. Are you hearing me? Now I'm going to tell you something. If you're any of these things, you don't enter in the kingdom of God. And I'm going to tell you what, it's all over your Bible. It's all over your Bible. And I'm going to tell you something. This is not condemn you. This is to build a fear of God in you. That's it. This is walk of love. All right, now, the next verse. Let no one what? Deceive you. See, that's where Eve got deceived. Eve got deceived. Look here. The power of the darkness led Eve to the tree of rebellion, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, a tree of death, and said, Eve, and here was the first doctrine of the demons, God had said, when you eat off that, you're surely going to die. Eve, Satan said to Eve, here comes the doctrine of the demons. Adam and Eve already had the gospel. Eve said, Satan told Eve, said, you can eat off this tree, you surely shall not die. In other words, you can walk in rebellion, you surely shall not die. Reckon doctrines of demons changed any since Eve ate off the tree? Sure, you can walk in rebellion, you can practice them. You walk in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the breath. You surely shall not die. And explain it away. Explain it away so this worked. Because this is what has the hearts of people. And the only thing, when this gets your heart, you get a stumbling block right in front of your face. And the only thing you can see in this Bible is what fits in that doctrine. That has preeminence. This becomes number one. And that is doctrines of demons. To draw your heart away from. So you can never be led into any truth if something else has your heart. Amen? Okay? Now, let no one deceive you. Was Eve deceived? Now, if you do your word study on being deceived in the New Testament, you'll see exactly that deception comes when you think you walk double-minded. You just do your word study on being deceived and watch. And that's where you're warned over and over and over about unrighteousness, righteousness, deception, and a divided heart walking rebellion to God. Do not be deceived. Let no one deceive you with empty words because of these very things right here. The wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. That's what you repented from. Therefore, you better not be partakers with them. Now, just quickly, hold your place right there. Colossians 3, verse 5. I want to get just a few basic things right here. Therefore, Colossians 3, verse 5, consider the members of your earthly body. You're dead to immorality. You're dead to impurity. You're dead to passion. You're dead to evil desire. You're dead to greed. All these things amount to what? Idolatry. They amount to idolatry if you practice them. If you don't give them up, they're idolatry. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If Jesus Christ is Lord of your heart, your fruit's going to show it. Your heart's going to change. Amen? Impurity is not going to be Lord. Passion's not going to be Lord. Immorality is not going to be Lord. Evil desire is not going to be Lord. Greed's not going to be Lord. All of it's idolatry. It becomes your sword. Now look at verse 6. It's on account of these things that the what? Wrath of God comes. Well, let me ask you something. Does these things come against the law? Let me ask. Talk to me here. Do these things break the law? These things break the law. Well, did we see that the law brings wrath over in Rome? Did we see that last night? Did we see the law brings the wrath? Right. So, what is the wrath? What is the law for? So those are walking under the law. Amen? Do you understand the moment you start walking under the law, you're chastised right then? And if Jesus Christ is your Lord, you'll overcome it and you'll walk back in peace. How many see that? Hold up your hand. This breaks the law. The wrath of God. All right, let me ask you something. Can God, I don't know how to word this, can anything displease God more than this right here when he says, talks about wrath? You've seen somebody irritated, you've heard somebody angry. Now this is wrath. Huh? Doesn't sound like he liked it, does it? Well, he cursed the whole every human being there is because Adam and Eve Because of the sin of Adam and Eve did this. Amen? When did he change? Folks, do you understand our tradition's been killing you? And me? Huh? Been deceived. We have been deceived, so what do you do when you're deceived? You can always check right here to see. Right here's the way you find it. Now, if you, some person can blind lead the blind, you go to the pit, but you come back here, and this is what the Lord's leading us to do today. He's showing us things we've been deceived about. It's the grace and mercy of God. Amen? Okay? Now, the wrath of God, and verse 7, in these things you also, you once walked, which means you're not walking there. When you were living in them, you're not living there because you're no longer walking all law. Is that plain? But now, you also put them all aside. You put aside anger, you put aside wrath, you put aside malice, you put aside slander. You put all this selfishness, this abusive speech from your mouth. Amen? Now back in Ephesians 5, we said verse 15, you better be careful how you walk. You better not walk as unwise men or foolish men, but you're going to walk as a wise. And we know that verse 27 talks about the church that he's preparing for himself. It's holy and blameless. And how's this church going to be holy and blameless? You see it in verse 26. This is how he makes the church holy and blameless. He sanctifies her. How do you sanctify her? The word washes and cleanses your heart. Right there you said, having cleansed her by the washing of the water of the word. Now tell me something. How can the word wash your heart when something else has got your heart? See, if it got out of the word can't wash your heart. Because you won't take the word to heart. This is why people sit in meetings like this and they start getting peace and everything because their heart begins receiving the word. Do you understand? I used to watch a lot of people in these early meetings that I was in just go, God just all over these people. And they are, in this word and staying in this word. And it's an interesting thing, all the things that come up to start drawing a person's heart. Religious things are good. You know, maybe gifts. Maybe casting out demons. Maybe any number of things like that to just start, just to home in on one thing and you see the difference in them. They're different. Because standing in this Word and being washed with the Word of God, you can't even know how to walk. You're going to be deceived if you're not doing it all the time. You'll start drifting and drifting and drifting and drifting. Amen? So that is a church he come at. Now, is a person holy and blameless if they practice sin? I can't hear you. Turn to Hebrews 10, please. Hebrews 10. Now, what do you think the wrath of God is? Can I tell you what it is? Let me just explain something. I don't remember what all we covered, but I want you to know the powers of darkness. The Spirit of God's a fire and the Spirit of the devil's a fire. Amen? Now, let me just show you something. When your heart is in agreement with a rebellion, you've got the Spirit of the devil working on you. When your heart is in agreement with God, you've got the Spirit of God working with you. And I want you to know that demons aren't blessings. And if anybody's bothered by that, just get adjusted to it because, see, that's some strongholds you've been taught because it's all over your Bible and you've got to talk about it. Talk about all the gospel. Amen? How are you going to learn about it? And so, when these things are in your life, when you lower the hedge on yourself when you sin, because did we say something about putting up your weapons and you tear down all speculation, thoughts, and arguments, you exalt themselves against the Word of God, and you bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus. Hebrews talks about your senses being sharpened to discern good and evil. Amen? Now, you can't figure this all out in the natural. Absolutely not, because in the natural is the works of the law. Amen? But in the works of everything that Jesus says, see, he takes your weakness, and you take his strength, you become strong in the Lord. This is how you become strong in the Lord, to have his weapons. Amen? All right, then you're stronger than any stronghold, anything the devil can bring them in. That's the way you become that. But you only become that by walking in covenant. You have to choose. And we're going to read there a little later in 1 Peter 5, after you've suffered for a while, you suffer and you prove that you want to please, that you love God more than you do yourself. That Look with me in verse 20. Now, we know the hedge comes down on sin. For verse 20, for if... Now, see, I can use this scripture later, and later on I'll come back to this right now, and you're going to see it different. But I'll just read part of it right now, and then later on, at some point, maybe tomorrow night, we might come back again. But I want you just to see what this is saying right here. It skipped a lot, verse 26. For if we go on sinning, what? Willfully, after receiving the knowledge of the truth. After you receive the Word of God, you go on sinning. There no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. Who is the sacrifice? Jesus? Well, if you're not coming to Jesus, may I ask you, are you having your heart cleansed? Well, if you're not having your heart cleansed, you're choosing against God. Is that right? Is that right? If you do it willfully, you're willfully. That means God doesn't have your will. You give your will to Satan. Is that right? Okay? When you do this, a certain terrifying expectation of what? Judgment. Sounds like a hedge is down, doesn't it? And the fury of fire. Now, we're going to learn a lot about fire tonight, okay? There's the fury of fire, which is going to consume the adversaries. If your will is against God, are you an adversary? If you stand and speak against God, are you an adversary to God? Okay? Anyone who set aside the law of Moses, he died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. We saw that over. You've probably seen this in Numbers 15, where the man went out on the Sabbath day to get a load of wood, and God says, kill him. Stone him to death. When did God change? Do you see how he is about rebellion and sin? When he explained away. All right, now look today, right now, 29. How much severe punishment? And we're not going to act like that's not in there. How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who tramples underfoot the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and he regards something as what? What's that word? Unclean. Do you remember the scripture there that says you cannot be unevenly yoked? You can't walk with the devil. Your hearts cannot be tied to a temple of God. Can walk with someone that has a temple of idols that won't give them up. Amen. Say, come out from the midst of them and do not touch what is unclean, and then I'll be a father to you. And then you, when you come out, you'll be sons and daughters to me. Is that right? Amen. Y'all with me? Okay. But he regards this unclean. Now let me ask you something. Is the covenant, the Word of God, supposed to cleanse you from all rebellion and sin? Well, if you sin willfully, are you regarding the covenant as unclean? You justify rebellion to God? Is that right? Are you seeing what I'm saying? Okay. The blood of the covenant by which he has what? You regarded the covenant here, the gospel that's supposed to sanctify and purify you, you regard it as something unclean. The Word of God. Everybody's seeing that, aren't you? You regard it as unclean. This gospel, this Word, which is supposed to sanctify and purify your heart, you want to sin, Philippi, you want to practice sin, want to twist and pervert grace and say it's all right to do these things, you insult the Spirit of grace. That's what your Bible says. For we know, God says, that we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I repay, and again the Lord will judge his people. And I want to ask you something. Is he making this sound like a practice and sin, like ho-hum? This is God speaking. Amen? Is that right? This is God speaking. The Lord will judge his people. Now, your Bible goes on in 31 to say, it's a terrifying thing. It's terrible. It's terrifying. If a person could know, if you have understanding about it, if you can comprehend, it's the most terrifying thing that can happen to you. To fall into the hands of the living God But remember the former days. Now remember the former days back earlier. After being enlightened, you were first enlightened about Jesus and everything. Is that right? Were you enlightened? You had to receive some light. Is that right? You were enlightened, and then you endured a great conflict of sufferings. Is that right? In other words, you become a public spectacle. You know how you become a public spectacle? Because, see, the world out here walks in pride. So when you don't walk in pride, and when you just humble yourself, and as the world calls, you want to be the doormat, you don't hit back, you don't strike back, you don't do these things, you look pretty square, don't you? Huh? The world doesn't understand that kind of love. They don't understand that. So you become a public spectacle when you quit warring after the flesh, because all the world wars after the flesh. And when you quit warring after the flesh, which means sinning. And this is what happened to you when you were first enlightened and Jesus Christ became Lord of your heart. Amen? When you, a humble person doesn't look like he has good sense in the world. Not their way of thinking, see. Because in the world right there, you step on the whole bunch, get to the cop, get all you can all you can get. See, that's how the powers of darkness get your heart. But partly you became a public spectacle through what? Reproaches. And where do you think the tribulation come from? The tribulation comes from the words and things like that. People that test your to see if you've got just a little bit of reputation and everything. If you do, you'll come over because you want to look good to them. See, persecution, see, this is how persecution pulls you away from the word. It make it so hard, and the powers of darkness and people bring so much pressure on you and everything. So finally, it's so hard to stand you on the word of God, you just kind of move over where you can kind of, you know, get their approval too. And then what have you done? You're getting the word taken out of your heart. They bring the affliction. The powers of darkness use people. They don't even suspect it. Capture them and they don't even know it. Anybody that's in the flesh is little used but the powers of darkness. Flesh always opposes the spirit. This is why anything spiritual ever comes to happen in your life, you can always expect the devils and the people they've got captive to come and put water on it. Flesh always attacks the spiritual because the powers of darkness control them. Now let's read 33 again. This approaches, and there is the tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. And that's the body of Christ. Amen? Well, now let's look at verse 35. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Now let me ask you something. How do you lose your confidence? You throw away your confidence by sinning. Because when you have sin in your heart, what happens? Your heart what? Condemns you. And then when your heart condemns you, you don't have confidence. This is what it's talking about. Amen? So he said, don't throw away your confidence. Don't walk in this sin. You throw away your confidence if you walk in sin, because when you got sin in your life, your heart condemns you. And when your heart condemns you, when your heart's condemning you, you're not getting much from God. You know that, don't you? Amen? Well, I know. See it again. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of what? You endure. You saw it up there in verse 32. You endured a great conflict of sufferings. You endure affliction. Is that right? You endure tribulation. You endure reproaches. Is that what it's saying up there in 32 and 33? You endure them. So, folks, are you seeing what I'm saying? Huh? When you get sin, you get to the sacrifice and get it going. Get your heart repented. Go to the sacrifice. His name is Jesus. And get cleansed of it. Amen? And then when the peace will come back, and when you got peace, you got confidence. You know why you got confidence? Because you're walking in love. And that's what everything we're saying right here. Right? For you have need of endurance, so that when you've done the what? What is the will of God? The will of God is to walk right in God's eyes. Not in your own eyes. Not according to somebody. Yeah, well, let me put it this way. It's not a Lutheran righteousness or a Catholic righteousness or Methodist righteousness, and if I'm permitted, Baptist righteousness. There's only one righteousness. There's only one righteousness. It's what looks good through God's eyes, and it's where we're all supposed to be looking for. That's what makes us one heart and one mind. Jesus! Amen? For you have need of endurance so that when you've done the will of God, then you're going to what? What do you get? You do the will of God, and you don't have sin, and then what? You get a promise. Now let me tell you another verse, same thing. John 15:16 says that you've been called and you've been chosen to go and bear much fruit. And not only to bear much fruit, but your fruit remains. Now, you cannot bear fruit unless you're putting to death sin. God, you cannot bear the fruit. You can't walk in love. Branch is not going to do it. Quit trying, branch. It's not going to work. It's the works of the law. You can't do it. It's the grace of the Spirit of God is going to come and cleanse you. You have to submit to it. You're going to suffer. He who wishes to come after me, let him first deny him. And he follow me. That's where the glory is. Unspeakable. Because whoever wishes to save his life, if your heart's living for it here, you're going to lose it. It's being destroyed. The powers of darkness, the wrath of God's all over you. Front seat, back seat. Whoever wishes to save his life is going to lose it, but whoever loses his life gives this up, dies to it for my sake and glory. I'll get you back up and sing again here in a minute, Linda. So, folks, we don't do much praying when we don't have confidence, and you don't have confidence because when you're programmed by traditions that you can walk in sin and find a security in it. You know what God does? Nothing. That's the reason flesh has to manipulate things, push people over and all these kind of things, make it look like God's there. Now, verse 38. But my righteous one, a righteous one, what's he going to do? He's going to live by faith. And if he, what? Shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. This very week, God showed me what that meant. God showed me, do you know, I think it's in 4, Hebrews 4, it tells you how the Word of God judges the thoughts and the intents of your heart. Do you know what happens? God watches. Well, it's beautiful. I'm telling you what, this is good. He sees when you read the Word of God. Do you understand when you read the Word of God, you're all the time making choices in your heart? Let me know this. Hold up your hand. Because God, when you read the Word of God, you have to give up on yourself and the things in the world. Amen? You make that choice when you see something right there, and because you love Jesus with all your heart, He has all your heart, you know immediately your heart's going to go to it. Right? Amen? Will you receive the Word? Did you ever see anybody that wouldn't receive the Word? They shrunk back. They wouldn't receive the Word, wouldn't take it to heart. Are you seeing that? They backed off. And you can do that. You can, and then you can see something in the Word, and then you can think of something that's got your heart. And you'll make a choice that quick. You'll make it that quick. Are you going to receive the Word, or you won't? Or you want to hold on to that thing? That's reading to get rid of the sin that so easily besets you. That's reading to talk about cutting off your hand and pulling out your eye. Amen? That's just an example. Now, that's how serious God is about it. And see, His yoke is easy, He says. It's called the simplicity and the purity of the gospel. We've heard so much academic and intellect in it, we'll make it something real complicated. The Spirit of God show it out to all of us. He showed it to me, little of it. I've said before, I'm a lot of encouragement to folks. If He show it to me, He show it to anyone. 38, for my righteous one's going to live by faith. Now, faith is being led by the Spirit of God. And if he shrinks back, my soul is going to have, ain't going to have any pleasure in him, but we are not those who what? Shrink back to what? that shrink back to destruction. Isn't that interesting? Because, see, folks, always remember, when you shrink back in your heart, you're saying there's something I love more than I love God. That's why, now look here, let me ask you something. Did he say to those, if you really love me, you're going to what? You're going to say your words? No. He said, you're going to walk right here. In other words, you look in this word right here, and where you're going to line up at, the Spirit of God is going to lead you there. Amen? Because the Spirit of God is going to lead you exactly right there. Amen? I'm going to tell you something, folks. You can try it any way you want to. You can get the man to come to town and pray for you, everything you want to do, but you're never going to find peace. You can roll, tumble, whatever you want to do. You're not going to do it. I'm telling you, just get the next one to pray for you and go over there to get some water over in Memphis, maybe, or run down there to Houston. Just go and go and go and go and go. But you're going to need a whole lot of prayer until you decide to get your heart clean, because they're still going to beat your brains out. What? Let me ask you something. What does it do? What good does it do to get free from something when it's still here, when your heart is still living for it right there? You just went through some exercise. You're out in the yard, it's back. That's how come it to be there. Your heart's in rebellion. Your heart. Amen? For we're not those who are going to shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to preserving of what? Look at me, folks. You preserve your mind and your will and your emotions. That's exactly what the powers of darkness attack. They attack your mind. They attack your will. Do you ever see anybody just get passive? You know? When I used to sit one-on-one, you know, to people in deliverance, you know, and this was all such a new thing, and I was like a blind pig in a corn patch myself, and I remember they used to come in and they sit there and want to be set free. And I was wishing I had a wet squirrel to... Folks, isn't that simple? Let me see just what we just read right here. Hold up your hand. Now, let's read that verse 39 again. We are not of those who shrink back to destruction. That means you won't take the word of God to heart. That means, honey, when you read this word and you just do it as some religious exercise, look at me, while something else has your little heart right here, you're wasting your time. Throw your Bible away. It's not doing one thing for you. Jesus doesn't have your heart. You've got another Jesus. I want to tell you something else. God never does nothing to you. Once a while, demons will make a move there and make you think those deluding influences. That's really the truth. Not until your heart's turned to the Lord. God's not doing anything. The veil is only removed in Christ. I mean, he blinds a bat. You call darkness light? We're not those that shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the what? We preserve. Now, when you have faith, when you walk in the Spirit, what do? You preserve the mind. Now, look at me. You're preserving the mind, the will, and emotions. How are you doing it? Because you have a hedge around you. Right? And they can't get to your mind. Well, they shoot a little dart every once in a while. They can't get to tear up your emotions. And it can't do anything you will because you have confidence. Amen? Now it's preserving of the soul. Now, let me just show you that. Well, just a couple of places that you can see this right here. 1 Peter 2. Let me just show you something right here. 1 Peter 2. Now, we're going to see something about this shrinking back. Well, first, over in 1 Peter 1, verse 14, as obedient children. Now, this is children of God that Jesus Christ is Lord. Is that correct? Do not be conformed. We're not conformed to our former lust. Amen? Now, look here. Well, look at me right.
the former rebellious flesh. Our heart's not conformed to that. We're not conformed. We're not walking that. We're not expressing that out of our mouth. We're not expressing that because we're cleansing our heart from it, and we got our weapons up here to stop any more from getting there. Amen? We're purified and being sanctified because we're being this is the way we're reconciled back to God, sanctification and eternal life. Amen? Born again by the Word of God. Right? Okay. Now, as obedient children, you are not conformed to your former lust, which, what's that word? Were yours in your what? You're in ignorance, which means when you're in darkness, you didn't know. Hey, folks, you don't know until you see it right here. Amen? Till you get light. This is the light right here. But like the Holy One who called you, here's what He called you to do. You're going to be holy yourselves in all your behavior. Now, did we see that's the kind of church that He's going to come from? Holy and blameless? Amen? So you're no longer going to be conformed to your lust, which you was ignorant when you're there. Amen? But like the Holy One who you're being conformed to His image, amen? Reconciled back to God, sanctified, you're going to be like, because it is written, God says right here, you're going to be holy, for I am holy. Now look in chapter 2. Therefore you put aside, verse 1, all malice. Here's the flesh. You put aside all guile. You put aside all the prophecy saying one thing and walk another. You put aside all envy. You put aside all slander. And so like newborn babes long for the milk, for the word, and you're going to grow in respect to salvation, verse 5, as living stones, you and I fit together. We're the ones that make up the church, which is called a spiritual house. It's a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And now, verse 7. This precious value then is for those who believe, but is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve. The stone, that's Jesus, which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone. Now, we're going to see when you shrink back at the Word what happens. Something else has got your heart. How many here know when you shrink back from the Word of God, something else got your heart? Amen? All right, now watch very closely. Now, verse 8. And it's going to be, Jesus becomes a stone, a stumbling, and He becomes a rock of the what? Look at me, folks. Look here. Look here. When something else has got your heart, when you hear this right here, you're going to be offended by it, part of it. You just don't mess with some of this. Because something else becomes your heart, and Jesus, and you shrink back. Amen? You shrink back to destruction. Amen? Now let's just see it. He becomes a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, for they stumble because they shrink back. They're disobedient to the Word. They shrink back. And to this what? Doom and destruction, they were also appointed. When that changed, folks? Now look here. Did it say, did we also see over there that we're not those, but we are those who have faith of the preserving of the soul? Now those shrink back, but watch there in verse 11. Now here's how you preserve a soul. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers, that's to the world, what you're going to do, you abstain from what? Fleshly lust. Is that sin and rebellion? You abstain from it, but what's it going to do? It wages war against your what? Mind, will, emotion. That's what gives the powers of darkness time. That's sin. That's how they get to you. Are you hearing me? I want you to meditate. Look at it a little bit. That's how they get there. You abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war, because the hedge, when you operate here, look here. When your heart starts living for this, it lowers the hedge on you. And then the war comes in on you, right? What's the war come in on you? Your mind. It comes against your will. And comes against your emotions. Now, that's where the world is. That's where people in the mental institutions. That's where people are tormented all over the world. Their mind, their will. See that? You don't have no peace. When there's a war against your mind, will, and emotions. Peace comes when nothing's coming against your mind, will, and emotions. And that's through your mind, will, and emotions is how the powers of darkness come to bring disease and things in your body. Amen? Now, folks, as we're learning these things, and Let me just tell you, quite frankly, we're going to learn enough. Let me tell you, I know just enough to know that I don't know what I ought to know. We're in a process of learning, walk in what you have, and then you receive more wisdom and you receive more understanding. But we're going to come to a place where we can sit down with anyone. We're going to take them right to the Word and take them to Jesus, and I'm going to tell you, they're going to get set free. We're going to anoint with oil, and they will be restored. We're going to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover, because first we're going to get in their hearts. I mean, God's leading us our faith. Amen? And He's going to have all the glory. Jesus is. Amen? I mean, God's wrath is, you know, that's what the law was for. It's against sin and rebellion to Him. Amen? God's funny about something. When He says it, that's the end of it. Amen? Because He has all our best interests at heart. And remember what I told you about fear. Fearing God. Fearing on the other. Now, when you're talking about the wrath of God, don't home in on that, because Christians are not supposed to be considering things like this. What they're supposed to be considering is this fear of God is that. Now, listen to me. He loves you so much. When you suffer through these things, what you're doing is just like Jesus learned obedience through suffering too, and you walk as He walked. You're showing that you love God more than you love yourself. You're just putting your arms around His neck. But see, that's when the Comforter comforts. That's when He'll love you more than anything you ever suffered for. There'll be more joy and peace than anything, because see, folks, that's where we haven't known. That's where the glory is. That's where it's continually filled with the Spirit. Joy unspeakable. Continually joy. And every time they're running out of town, you know, Paul and them, they're kind of, the whole bunch is continual. The 70 disciples, they go out and they're doing the ministry of Jesus and they come back with joy. Amen? Folks, we're going to please the Lord with our hearts. Now, the wrath of God is for those that don't want to please Him. They want to have this. Want to hang on to this. See, right here? That's like a dog returning back to its vomit. Why don't you look with me in John 3. I got some things I'm wanting to share here, but we're going to have to cover some of these basic things. Some of you are kind of used to, but I think maybe some of you forgot them anyway. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so whoever believes in Jesus should not perish but have eternal life. Is that right? But the Bible doesn't stop there, does it? It has some more scripture. Let's look at the last one right there. But he who believes in the Son, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. That's exactly what we saw in verse 16, right? But he who what? Does that mean you have to do something? When it says does not obey, does that mean you have to do something? Obey, does obey mean obedience? Well, see, it's an interesting thing how that's called works. That means somebody, Lord, you're obeying somebody, right? All right? But he who does not obey the Lord Jesus Christ, he shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. It never did come off of him. If you're not obeying the Lord, Jesus Christ, if you're not obeying the gospel, you're not even having your heart cleansed. You're in the works of the law or something. Amen? You're not being led by the Spirit of God. You're on the law. Wrath of God's still on you. The wrath of God's on everybody that's on the law. And if you're led by the Spirit of God, you're not on the law. And so if you're led by the Spirit of God, that means you're obeying the Lord. Do you see this? Now, just so you won't have any problem with my interpretation of that scripture, hold your hands right there. Turn to Hebrews 5. Let me show you what I'm talking about. You have any problem with obeying Him right there, we'll look at this one over here. Hebrews 5, verse 9. And having been made perfect, this Jesus, He became to all those who what? The ones who obey Him get what? They receive eternal life. Is that right? Now let's go back over in John 3. That's exactly what I said it said, didn't I? So see, the wrath of God is on those who are sinning or willfully sinning. Amen? So we see verse 19, and this is the judgment. Verse 19, John 3:19. This is the judgment, that the light is coming to the world,
And so men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. Now, folks, look at me. When your fruit stays evil and you don't overcome this, you prove that you love darkness more than you do light. Jesus said, those who love me will obey me. And he said he became the source of eternal life to all who obey him. Amen? What I started to tell you, and I got off on it a while ago, is the fact this fear of God is it's a love. It's a love that God is absolutely in charge. He's got everything around. Does he know your thoughts? He knows. I mean, right now, he's looking right in your heart right now. God didn't make us so complicated. He didn't know what was going on, did he? He knows your very thoughts. Now, he knows when you have his heart, and he starts making the way and all provisions for you. And he lets things come against you to bring... let me just give you an example. I mean, boy, I'm telling you what, when the Lord saved me, I was dying of a heart disease. I'd had open heart surgery, didn't complete it, and I was dying. And I've been programmed all my life not to cry. I was crawling around on the floor with saliva running off my chin, and I knew there was a hell. I didn't think God, you know, would consider someone like me. And I just got saved all over the place. Brother, I tell you what, the next morning, I'm telling you what, oh, thank God, I still don't understand. I can't comprehend it. Why God ever considered anybody like me. But he so changed my heart. And you know, it was not, I imagine about four, and I mean, I began making money and things like that. I mean, I just get close to anything, you know, and it's, just things just always worked out good to me because I had a cleaning business. I was a friendly carpet cleaner, and sometimes I'd close the door, you know, and I'd take off, and I thought, because I love the Lord, and it just run away. There wasn't no way for me to keep up with what all the Lord did. And, you know, my wife and I, when you're around pride, you understand what I mean? There's someone get on you. You see what I mean? And we just got to kind of compare ourselves. We got to think we're pretty smart. The way we just do things, you know. And all of a sudden, the Lord has let some things come against me to learn something. Because he had to come against something that's in my life. And he let tribulation come against me. So he let me fall for a little trap, and I had all of a sudden we had about five businesses, and she's sales manager of another one. And then all of a sudden, my mind wasn't here anymore. My mind had to stay on operating all those businesses and so forth. And then I had some property. I'm telling you, I couldn't give it away. And I began working for interest. And I want to tell you what's the truth. I went to bed working. You're supposed to go to bed to sleep. I went to bed, you know, planning to keep up this mess. And it just liked to kill me. And I came to a place where about 3 or 4 months, I just sit in the room. I've explained to some people, just like, you ever see a bird when it just flies into a plate glass, you know, and just... And that's absolutely the way I was for 3 months. I was trying my best to come to light. God's let me learn something, so my wife and I would go to the banker. I had collateral to cover all this thing. I didn't see what the big deal was. I was paying the interest on it, and he's talked to me like I was a stepchild. I used to beg my wife. That gets to you. You don't feel too proud when these things are happening to you. You know what I mean? And I got put in that place, and I just started getting beat down. I started dreading that going to that man. I'd beg my wife to please go the next time and just hold those little old notes would come up. And you know that my wife and I, I'm telling you what, I've told people if I could walk down the town naked and left the whole thing right there, they could just had it all if I could have got away from that thing and started up. But God didn't let me do that, see. He didn't let me do it, and I had to stay there. And I didn't know if it's the last time that I'd ever get out of the mess and torment I was in. And then there come a time that the Lord had me in some situation, and I moved here to Fort Worth, Texas. And I looked over at my wife. I saw her. I had my little carpet cleaning machine and saw her over in the corner over there. I mean, she never had made clean carpet before. And I got to thinking about I was watching Joyce there cleaning that carpet in this grease factory. And I got to thinking about how she used to travel over the world. She was in general manager of the largest black cosmetic in the world, and how she had her expense account and everything. And there she's over in the corner cleaning in this grease factory. And you know something? The Lord promoted me and he got me out. Now, if I hadn't learned, if the Lord hadn't taught me that one thing, the things that I'm going through today, it had been a disgrace to be able to handle. Let me tell you something. I don't spend nothing unless I've got the money for it. I learned, and now I know where it comes from. Amen? But see, these things, the Lord will let these tribulations, so when it's coming in your life, you need to learn something, you wouldn't be reacting to it. Right? So what does it do? The light came. Now here's the wrath of God. Verse 19, this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than light. Why? Because their fruit's evil. Amen? Your fruit and deeds are evil. So, but everyone, now if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to obey Him. Is that right? Which is mean your fruit is going to be righteous. Amen? For everyone, now you're looking at who the body of Christ is. Let me tell you, this is the body of Christ. For everyone who does evil, he hates this light right here. He's going to be offended. Are you hearing me? They will be offended. When you come to something the heart really loves right there, they're going to be offended by it. And it becomes, for they're going to shrink back. For whoever does evil hates the light. He will not come to the light lest his deeds be exposed. He shrinks back because his heart is loving that evil more than it is the Lord Jesus Christ. How many see in that? Hold up your hand. That's what brings the judgment and the wrath of God and the torment that's been on all of us. Do you see that? That's why it's there. This is how you repent and get free from it. You don't have to get a running start or anything. Now, but he who practices the truth. Now, this is the body of Christ. Now, don't try to make somebody a Christian that's not Christian. But he who practices the truth, he will come to this word of God. That is deeds. He wants his deeds to be manifested that having been wrought in God, he is not going to shrink back. He will not shrink back. Do you hear me? He's not going to shrink back to destruction because Jesus has all his heart and he wants to please Jesus more than he does anything in this world. Because he loves Jesus more than he does any evil or anything this world has or anything else. Now I suggest if he doesn't have all your heart, I suggest you follow this Jesus right here and he have all your heart. Now this is the body of Christ. Now let me tell you something. Now understand this. This is why what the Word of God is doing today is going to separate some folks. I'm telling you the Word is going to separate. There are going to be those. He's going to come and knock on the door. And they're going to say, come on in. But others, he keeps knocking on the door. And he said, I'm going to come in and dine with you, fellowship with you. And Jesus comes in and dines with you when he's got your heart, see. And there are people today, they'll not hear this word. Now listen to me. They're going to be offended. And they're going to stumble. They're what the nice folks might be your sister. I'm going to tell you this word will divide mother, father, daughter-in-law, father-in-law. It'll divide the whole bunch. Either come to light or you don't. Because the only one, now listen to me, the only ones who are going to have the wisdom and knowledge would know what's going on in these last days. You don't make any conditions for God. Either you come or you don't come. And the ones who do not come have an idol in their heart. And this idol, as Ezekiel 14 becomes a stumbling block right in front of your face, you're not going to be able to see what's even going on. Only the ones that come in all the heart. There's a bunch happening. I'm telling you, this is opening up fast. And there's no, not some man that shows up. There's only one of the ones that's seeing what's in this word right here. It's when you stay in this thing and don't let your mind get your heart get off on all some of the byproducts and everything that Jesus is doing. Amen? Okay. So, I want to quote this scripture to you again. 1 Timothy 6, 3 and 4 says, if anyone advocate, let's look at it. Some of you might not believe it's there. 1 Timothy 6. Now, I want to show you something about another gospel and another doctrine. 1 Timothy 6. If anyone advocates a different doctrine, now what? Is this gospel supposed to be the doctrine we're after? All right, if anyone advocates a different doctrine and it doesn't agree with the gospel, which is the sound words of Jesus, and with this doctrine, this gospel right here, does this gospel conform you to the image of God? Does it remove all separation? With the gospel, it conforms you to godliness. Now, I want to ask you before we start right now. Have we seen that this, what the gospel does, it conforms you to the image of God, that you become a slave of righteousness, and that is grace? Have we seen that? All right. Is there any doctrines today that tell you it's all right not to do that? Shake your head. They absolutely are. Now let me tell you what God has to say about them. If anyone advocates a different doctrine, doesn't agree with the gospel, these sound words of the Lord Jesus Christ we've been seeing for two nights, and with this doctrine that conforms you to godliness, in other words, it counts for rebellion to God, they are conceited and proud, they understand zero. I don't care how smart, academic, intellect, hermeneutic, Greek, or whatever. You hear me? Zero. They understand. They don't have understanding because you can't have understanding except the grace and revelation that comes from God. They understand. They're ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They understand nothing, but they have a morbid interest in controversial questions. Now, how many understand that when you come up with some part of the Bible, look at me, somebody not looking. When you come up with something right here that comes, some part of the Bible, you know it's going to offend you. It's going to cause you to, boy, shrink back. This thing will cause you to shrink back. I mean, it'll harden your heart. This word can't have no effect on people when the structure has your heart. Another doctrine. So what do you have to do when this comes? When this comes right down here, it's going to tear that thing up. Kingship and the whole bunch. Amen? Flesh got to go. So what does it have to do? It has to protect itself. Because this is what it has. So it comes against the Word of God with controversial questions. Bring up controversy. He's gone off the deep end. Demons behind a bush. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then the traditions make the Word of God what? A no effect. And he used all this thing, and then all these people are held together with fear and intimidation here anyway. And he says something, he says controversial questions. And it's always, what else goes with it? They have to have disputes about words. Now that's the fruit of the Spirit coming out of the mouth. Dispute about words. And here's what always comes. There's rise envy, there's strife, there's abusive language, and evil suspicion. Did we say in Colossians 3:5 that the wrath of God's on those who have abusive language? Did we see that? Now, let me tell you something. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not tacting people. I'm tacting rotten systems and doctrines that don't conform me to God and have people in torment. They're being destroyed and going to hell. I'm attacking doctrines that people can stand up and say 75% of the church are going to hell and then say, ho-hum. Let's don't buck the system. I'm not attacking people. I'm attacking the devil that set these things up. Now, see, we just, as if some of you knew this, we're just getting started right here. It's very clear. So you don't, when you take the gospel it is, you don't have to skip scripture anymore. You don't have to skip it. You don't have to know Greek. Everybody in Greece is not saved, are they? You can hear it in the Holy Ghost. He can talk to you. Hey, you know, I had a man up there walk up to me one time and say, "Where'd you get that?" I said, "I got it from God." And I just saw his head shake like that. And he said, "I thought so." But he couldn't hear it. He had him a stumbling block. He's real smart. Okay. Verse 5, while we're there. They have a depraved mind. They are deprived of the truth. And they're supposed that godliness, look at me, is a means of gain, reputation, name, career, being king of flesh. Amen. It's a means of gain for the flesh if you help God out. God, you come on down here and cooperate with us. You see what we're trying to do for you. Amen? Look over in... Now, look with me in Jude. Turn with me in Jude. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Anybody that's led after lust is breaking the law. Anybody that's led after lust are on the law. Anybody led after the lust of flesh and misery and torment. Amen? Now, look at verse 18. And they were saying to you, in the last time, there will be what? They're going to be mockers. They're talking about the last days. What's that word right there? Following. Now, circle following. I'm going to tell you this is not following Jesus because they're following after what? Lust. The opposite of following after the lust of the flesh is following Jesus. The opposite of following after, when you follow lust, you're following selfishness because your heart is living for yourself. You're building your treasures right here for the temple of this earth. Amen? You hear me? Okay. Now, these folks right here, these are the ones who walk after this selfishness. They cause the divisions. Their mind, see, when you live after the flesh, you live after the world, so they're worldly minded. So what do you think they talk like? They walk and talk, speaking curses, selfishness, their fruit that comes out of their mouth, the heart's God, you can tell them. Amen? Anger, hate, murder, unforgiveness, resentment, jealousy. Are you hearing me? All right, supposing that godliness is a means of gain, they are devoid of the Spirit of God. Is that plain? Can you just put that down in your little book? Jesus don't know these folks? Do you remember the man over there that in Matthew 7 who cast out demons? He did miracles. He prophesied. And Jesus said, he did them all in the name of Jesus, and Jesus said, "I never did know you." Now, what spirit do you think's working through him? Can I just go ahead and drop this one on you? It's the spirit of the devil. And the spirit of the devil cooperates with folks who are going to draw you into ungodliness and make them look good. Woe to you when all men speak well of you. This part gets spoke well of. When you have the Spirit, they speak well of Jesus. I don't have to be spoke well of. What's that get me? Unless I'm building something here on the earth. Amen? All right, now here they are. So now let's just look with me in verse 10. Now let me show you. Here's what they're doing. I've read some of these scriptures before and never did really understand what they all meant. But these men revile the things which they... What's those four words? Uh-oh, they do not what? They do not understand. Did we... Now look at me. Look at me. Did we see if you have a doctrine that does not conform you to godliness? Here, it's got your heart. You've got your security in it. You don't need the Word of God. Throw it aside. You're without understanding? Huh? All right, then... When somebody comes with part of the Word of God right here, you're going to be offended and everything, and you're going to revile the things you do not understand because this has got your heart. Are you hearing me? Who do you think set up these doctrines? Why is it that these doctrines don't deal with the devil and demons? Well, they're con doctrine. Why don't we... Why isn't doctrines of demons taught in seminary? Why haven't we known what's Dr. Demon? Why do we have to skip that part? Why do we have to skip the part that deals with the powers of darkness? Because they're the ones that behind this, see. And that's who I'm coming against. In Jesus' name. All right, now. All right. They revile the things which they do not understand and the things which they know by instinct. In other words, there's your intellect, academic, or instinct, flesh. That's what he's talking about. Like unreasoning animals, by these things they're destroyed. What about that? Woe to them, for they've gone the way of Cain. What's the way of Cain? That's the works of the flesh. Works. And for pay. There's a name, career, greed, reputation. They rushed headlong into the era of Balaam. Balaam preached, prophesied for money. And they perish in the rebellion of Korah. In other words, they're operating with the wrong fire. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Holy Ghost is a fire and the Spirit of the devil is a fire and it's the wrong fire. Are you following me? Now look for the next verse. These men are those who are hidden reefs in your love feast. That's when you're renewing. Come, you know when you go to take a Lord's Supper, you know what you're doing? You're renewing death. You're renewing death all over you. You're saying, Lord, see... Did your Bible say something about come to this table? You can't take the table, which means covenant of the demons and the table of the Lord? Do you understand that you're taking the table of demons when you come before this Lord? When you come to take this table and take a Lord's Supper with idols in your heart? Who do you think put those idols in your heart? Who do you think talks to you to build idols in your heart? That's where the world is. They've got the idols in there. Their heart don't come to the Lord. That's the reason they're going to hell. Unless they repent and change their heart. Are you following me? So you come to the table of the Lord, which is covenant, when your heart's already in covenant with demons too. For this measure, and many of you, weak, sick, and a number of sleep, the hedge is down on you. You get cursed instead of blessed. Amen? I mean, now let's get this clear. Because I don't want any strongholds condemning you. Listen, you're living an overcoming life. There's something wrong with the whole bunch of us. It's easy to tell. But you're overcoming. Are you hearing me? You always come to the light. You always come to the light. You always come to the light. Because, I mean, God is... I have a lot of patience, mercy, and grace. But don't you go off to... Because you don't understand something. And there's a lot yet I don't understand. And I can only talk about what I do understand. The rest of it, say, I don't know. Just because you don't know, don't be like a Pharisee when you hadn't got the whole thing. You want to go find somebody and you want to start getting some votes about how you're going to live and how you're going to walk again. That's how you ever walk. You better let Jesus show it to the Spirit of God lead you. Amen? So don't be condemned because Jesus, who started, is going to finish it. Amen? And He said He'll never forsake you, never leave you, never separate your love from His love. Now remember that it's not intellectual. This is just grace. Amen? Stand up. So, these men are those who are hidden reefs in your love feast, when you're at the table of the Lord, and they feast with you without what? Now, you don't have they do not have fear. They don't have fear because why? They are caring for who? Yourself. Listen,
Heart, when your heart, listen, is living for this, you don't understand or know the fear of God. Amen? You don't understand or know the fear of God. Now, there are clouds without water. Are you seeing this? It's people that walk after lust are caring for themselves. Amen? You'll know them by the fruit. They're carried along by winds, they're autumn trees, and what's those two words? I can't hear you. They're double dead, spiritually and physically. They're uprooted. I mean, Jesus is not the root. They're uprooted. Jesus, I mean, they've been cast off. The root of Jesus is not in them. Amen? They're devoid of the Spirit of God. So we see there, verse 4, for certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long before marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness, deny the only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now I desire to remind you, though you already know all of things once for all, that the Lord, after saving... Are you in the New Testament now? He said, I want to remind you that the Lord, after saving the people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe. Amen? Now hold your place right there, and I want you to see something in 1 Corinthians 10. This is the way I didn't intend to go this way tonight, but I guess it's going to work all right. 1 Corinthians 10. Now he said, I want to remind you. And he's talking about that their bodies fail. And believe. Now, we see there, verse 2, they were all baptized into Moses when they crossed through the Red Sea. And all ate the same spiritual food. Verse 3, all drank the same spiritual drink. The drink of the spiritual rock, which is Jesus. The rock was Christ. And you're still New Testament now, aren't you? Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were what? They laid low in the wilderness. May I tell you something, folks? Now, look, I want you to look at me right here. Let me tell you who was laid low. The ones who would not go but to the rest of the land. They were destroyed. Now, let me tell you where that land is. God has had Israel since Exodus, and you're supposed to be the Israel of God. They've always had a land to possess. May I tell you the land you possess? Right there, you do it with the swords and weapons of Jesus. You take those weapons, you possess it. Now, you know the Canaanite nations? That they're on that land there. They're supposed to cross the Jordan and go over and take the land from the Canaanite nations, and it wouldn't go. God let them die. They were cursed. Are you hearing me? They would not go but because they were fearful. And you have this land today that you're going to... And so, when they possess the land over there, what did they get? Rest. Is that right? When you possess this land right here, what do you get? Rest. That's where you're commanded to go. You enter into the rest. You get these Canaanite nations off of this thing. Amen? Larry! Get the Canaanite nations off of it. So, they were laid low in the wilderness. Now, you're still in the New Testament, aren't you? Now, verse 6. Now, these things happened as what? Examples for who? Oh, that we should not what? Your heart better not crave evil things as theirs crave. You better not walk like they walked. Amen? Is that right? And do not be what? Idolatry. Did we see a while ago when you have something you won't give up and you keep practicing it and you won't give it up, it's idolatry? Amen? You're not going to be idolaters. As some of them were, as it's written, the people just sat down to eat and drink and they stood up to play. Ho-hum, God. All right, verse 8. Nor let us act how? Don't you act immoral. This example, as some of them did, 23,000 fell in one day, and that's supposed to be example for who? You. All right? Nor let us what? Do what? You start testing and trying the Lord. You know that you're going to, you know, you got the Lord, you're going to go do and walk as you please, as some of them did, and they were destroyed by who? Wonder who they are. The serpent. They destroyed them, and that's example for who? You. All right, now. Nor, what's the verse 10? Nor what? You're going to grumble as some of them did and they were destroyed by the who? Wonder who that is. Destroyed. This happened example for who? Us. Now these things happened to them as example. They were written for our instruction of whom the end of the ages have come. Therefore, if you think, he who thinks he stands, he better take heed lest he fall. Because you're warned right there, this all comes through temptation. No temptation's overtaken. Now, Jesus in Hebrews 2 and 4, He's tempted in all points, yet without sin, He's able to help you. You have to get your strength from Him, or you can't stand against temptation. Amen? No temptation's overtake you, but just as common to man, and God is what? He is faithful to not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation, He's going to provide you a way of escape so that you're going to be able to what? You're going to endure to the end and overcome. That's the church of Jesus Christ. Glory! Now, verse 14, therefore, my brethren, you better take off as hard as you can go from what? Idolatry, don't let your heart love nothing more than the Lord. Don't you shrink back. I speak to what kind of man? The wise virgins are going to hear this, but the foolish hearts cannot hear it. And they don't have the oil, they're devoid of the Spirit, and their lamps are going out through wickedness. See, the lamp is the Word of God. It's a light into your path. And they're stumbling and staggering in spiritual darkness because they don't have the lamp. They can't see. And you'll receive this Word, and you'll walk out of here, and you'll stumble and stagger if your heart doesn't come to Jesus. Don't you try to fit this in to some traditions or something to make it because you know some nice folks. Don't you change the Word of God. Nice folks better change and do what Jesus is saying. Amen?
This concludes tape number 3. Please fast forward this tape to return it to the beginning.